baby back door, baby fall off, sipping codeine cause I got a killer cough. Let me sit sideways in the big bins. Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
There's not one guy, one person in the history of this program that's bigger than the program.
Mayfield on play action.
You're listening to Brandon Drum and Parker Thune. This is the OU Insider Under the Visor Podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners Podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. My name is Brandon Drum, here with Parker Thune. It's the days after the season ended, but there is a lot to talk about. Kobe McKenzie, portal. Lots of portal guys, honestly. Kip Lewis, is he going to stay or is he going to go? Isaiah Satania, is he going to stay or is he going to go? Where is OU going to move in the portal with the plethora of athletes getting in the portal on a daily basis? And we're going to talk about all that on this podcast. There's a lot to dive into. Kind of a post-mortem podcast, if you will. Discuss the future, the big picture, all those type of things that you all have been wanting us to discuss. And we are here for that today. Outside of the first two ads, do we have any ads to thank today? Or is that it?
Yes, let's thank our sponsors before we move any further, folks. Riverwind Casino is our presenting sponsor. Riverwind Casino has been the OKC metro area's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades now. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars, and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Thanks also to Jana King, a proud partner of OU Athletics, and the greatest team to ever clean, delivering spotless results from stadiums to any size business across the country. So check out which of their solutions is best for you or your business by going to janiking.com. That's JANIKING.com.
All right. First off, are your allergies bothering you the way they're bothering me today?
No.
Really?
No, I'm good.
Your eyes look really red, but like just tired red probably. But man, my allergies are killing me today. I guess the biggest news be Kobe McKenzie, right? Like there's a lot of people that took offense when I said it wasn't shocking that he got in the portal. He barely played the last three games. Like his playing time got dwindled each and every game, the last three games. And, I know you and I talked about Buzz. I honestly thought he was going to go to the league. Like, we figured he was leaving. I thought he was going to the NFL. Just the portal part was the most, wouldn't you agree, it was probably the most shocking part of the deal?
I would have been more shocked if he went to the NFL.
Really?
Yeah.
I know that there are people around here. They were, I know, playing time, all that, yeah.
Well, and I've said this before, like, you know, you look at those two guys, well, two of the three that came in together in the 2022 class, the linebacker position, Jaron Kanick was actually the third, but between Kobe McKenzie and Kip Lewis, obviously Kip has a lot more production under his belt. And from where I said, I'm not even sure Kip Lewis should make the jump to the NFL right now. So I would have been more surprised if Kobe had tried to, you know, take his chances in the draft as opposed to transferring elsewhere. So it's not the most shocking outcome, but certainly that's a guy that if he's back at Oklahoma next year, he's going to be playing a lot one way or the other. So that was maybe a surprising aspect of it, just that the reality that clearly you're getting in the portal. You think you can do better, play more, have more of an impact somewhere else. And that's fine. He is leaving behind what probably would have been a pretty substantial role at Oklahoma in the linebacker room next year. That was maybe what took me by surprise. If he's going to stay at the college level, which it makes sense for him to do from a business standpoint, it feels like things are set up pretty well for him at Oklahoma to play and to produce next year. But, you know, obviously he and his folks, his family, they're going to know that situation and all the nuances therein a whole heck of a lot better than I am. So, I mean, you can't be too shocked when anybody hits the portal these days, because that's just the nature of the beast in college football. But yeah, there was a little bit of a surprise factor with that one, certainly.
Yeah. So around senior day, and I tweeted this out and I put it up on the board. I'll just talk about it here now. But around senior day, I reached out to some people around him, and they did confirm that there was truth to some buzz that I had heard about him leaving Oklahoma. At the time, at that point, nothing had been 100% decided. However, when you talk to people within the Switzer Center, it was, yeah, that dude's probably leaving. Like, that's the most likely outcome. He had had a meeting with some people around Oklahoma senior day week about wanting to walk and why he wanted to walk. And I just caught wind of it and reached out, like I said, reached out to his people. I'll tell you what I was told, and it might clear some things up. Some of the things that you said, Parker, like why, you know, the playing time, all that type of stuff. There's money and more guaranteed playing time elsewhere. And his representatives thought that he needed to, with his playing style, being that he fits the NFL a little bit better than he does college with his playing style. College is more wide open. And that's why I was thought maybe the NFL was going to be his route. NFL is a little bit more of a condensed, in-the-box type of game. So they think that he needs to show his pass rush skills more. And wherever he lands, that is going to be a pivotal aspect of why he chose said place, because they're going to use him in that aspect. When you look at his body style, you look at his frame, you look at the way that he blitzes, he's a really good blitzer. It makes sense, because he's not going to be a third down guy unless he can show he can pass rush, just because of his skill set, right? Like, he's a first and second down NFL back. He's an amazing run stopper. Like, I don't know, and I know this is probably with him, it's going to, in regards to him, Heinicke may be a better run stopper. I don't know that I really agree with that, but I think Heinicke's up there with him. But that's really what Kobe's good at. He's good at playing in the box. He's good at his run fits. He's good at sniffing out the run. He's always been good at that. That's what he was really good at Lubbock Cooper. When I would go and watch him play, he was unbelievable at it, actually. But he has a really good innate way to blitz and timing. And if he can show that, if he can use that wherever he lands, man, that's huge. That's going to be huge for him and huge for his draft stock. So I get that part. I just was shocked that he's such an OU guy. Like, he's Kinzie Hansen's fiance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, him not being a Sooner when his final season ends in football just seems weird, particularly how his whole recruitment ended up too. So, but nonetheless, that's the way it is. Caden Helms.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end. That one shocked the crap out of me. I did not see that coming. On the flip side, you did. I saw the Kobe thing. You were more shocked with that one. The Caden Helms thing, you were more in tune on that one than I possibly could be.
That was still a little bit surprising to me as well, because, you know, obviously the portal had been a consideration for him before, because he's just been through a lot.
Yeah.
Been through a ton. I certainly get why now, especially having earned his degree from Oklahoma, he feels like it's time for a reset and a fresh start. But I guess what surprised me was the timing of it all and the reality that for the first time in his career at Oklahoma in 2025, he got healthy and he was starting to play and play a lot and make an impact, right? He was playing well. And then, right at that juncture, is when he makes the decision to transfer. And now obviously it's going to be a bit of a reset for Oklahoma in the tight end room. Jaron Canick graduates, Will Huggins graduates, Helms is now transferring. And again, it felt like the type of deal, and there's a parallel to McKenzie's situation here, where if he comes back in 2026, he's probably playing a lot at that position. Yeah. But you know, there are other considerations, and I think most know the nuts and bolts of everything that his career at OU has entailed and all that has befallen him. And that's really all you need to know. I don't feel like I need to go too deep into the weeds on the specifics of some of the stuff he's been through, but certainly you go through enough, you get to the point where you just feel like a fresh start is necessary, especially with 2 years of eligibility left, because that's what he has. He redshirted in 2022. He gets a medical waiver for 2023. So he still has 2 years of college football ahead of him. And one of those guys, man, that, again, the portal had been a consideration before. There were a lot of opportunities for him to leave prior to this winter, and he chose not to. He stuck it out with OU for four seasons, earned his degree, finished the race, if you will, alongside some of the guys that he came in with in the 2022 class, i.e. Robert Spears Jennings, Jaron Canick, et cetera. Don't know what comes next for him, but certainly somebody whose perseverance you can appreciate.
Yeah,
the first 4 years of the Brent Venables era. And now the question becomes, well, how many portal tight ends does Oklahoma take? Because it's going to need to be multiple at this point, at the very least. Your only returners at the position are going to be, as of right now, Carson Kent, Cade McIntyre, Trene Washington. You have Tyler Ruxer and Ryder Mix coming in as incoming true freshmen. You're going to need a couple more bodies. At least, though.
Yeah, Mix is coming off an ACL tear.
Yep, so he's not even gonna be in pads until fall camp.
Correct.
Maybe fall camp. That's a 9-month turnaround there.
Yeah. So, look, the tight end situation, I was always told they were going to always take two. I would assume it's going to be more than that now, because I can't imagine you said Cade McIntyre, right? Trene Washington and Will Huggins, right? Those are the three.
Carson Kent.
Those guys
have a combined total of four catches in an Oklahoma uniform.
Yeah. So OU is very high on Trene Washington. Very high on him. However, like you said, he's new to the position. He was a wide receiver / cornerback in high school. And when I say that, people are going to go, why did they play a cornerback at? No, he's just a freak. He was 6'4", 225 pounds in high school at Coral Albert. So he was just an absolute freak. That's why they always win state. Because they have a bunch of Trene Washington and Xavier Robinsons and just studs running around. So I would assume at least one of those, I would imagine another gets in the portal, wouldn't you, out of the tight ends? I'm not going to say names, but I would say there would be another one. Just at this point, just buzz. But so you'd need to take three at least out of the portal, because you don't want to return a bunch of freshmen and just run with four freshmen next year.
No.
Or, and you know, one transfer that barely played. So like this, I can't imagine that. So on that note, with that, I it's kind of a good segue here since we're talking about tight ends. There's been a lot of buzz about JoJohn Finley, which I don't get. I get it. I don't get why every year people just assume he's leaving. Why would he leave and give up the money that he's making? Like, you have to take that in consideration, people.
Well, I'll tell you the reason why. Because the fan base hates him.
I get it.
That's why, like, yes, he's making good money.
Logically.
He could go make good money somewhere else and be much less detested by the fan base at his own alma mater, mind you, which is like, I don't wish this upon anybody. No, it sucks for Seth Luttrell. It sucks for JoJohn Finley. The fact that, you know, things have transpired in such a way that your own fans, the fans of the university that you graduated from and have spent the last 5 years coaching at, man, they've targeted JoJohn Finley to the point that he had to delete his Twitter account last spring to just get away from all the negativity.
Yep.
And so that's why he would leave, if indeed he did leave, was because the money wasn't worth his own peace of mind.
I guess
that would be the rationale.
Yeah, I was literally repeating what a source said to me last night. They were like, why would he leave? Like, the dude's making money. Like, he did. But yeah, with you, the way you word it, yeah, I guess so. I mean, but at the end of the day, you have to look at it like this. I know you look at it like this. Like, can you really blame JoJohn Finley? Can you really blame DeMarco Murray? Can you blame Bill Beatenbow? Can you blame Emmett Jones? The fact that they've had to deal with how many different OCs in the last four seasons?
Mm-hmm.
You can't get stability. Nobody wants to stick around because they don't know the scheme. That's why there's been no stability. There's been so much turnover because they can't keep OCs. There's been no... Then you look on the defensive side of the ball, and yeah, they've lost defensive coordinators. And I'm air quoting, if you're listening to it on audio, defensive coordinator, because we all know it's BV's defense. So at the end of the day, he got final say. They used his verbiage. The verbiage has never changed. The scheme has never changed. And dang near every position coach is stuck around. Plus the support staff. It's basically been as is.
Yeah.
Offense has not. You can't get stability. You have to give, like, this is going to be, Parker, this is the first time since 2023 they've had a returning, like 22-23, they've had a returning OC.
Mm-hmm.
Like 24, 25, there was no returning OC. So two of the last 3 years, they've had a new OC. They've had three OCs in the last 2 years. If you want to count JoJohn Finley being the interim.
Sure.
How can you recruit to that, Parker?
Yeah, and as far as JoJohn Finley and recruiting goes, I think it's easy to take him to task for the guys that he hasn't landed, or, you know, you look at 23 through 25 on the recruiting trail for tight ends, and it's just one every single year, and you can argue that's not enough, and maybe it isn't. But I also will extend some grace to Finley in the sense that the misfortune that his room has befallen,
yes,
to quite an extent, has been out of his control, because he couldn't control the fact that Caden Helms had two catastrophic injuries. He can't control the fact that Cade McIntyre has just constantly been injured over the course of his time at Oklahoma. And he's been good, and he's been on the field when he has been available, but that's been very infrequently. He's played eight games in his three seasons at OU. Devon Mitchell, okay, like, he lands a big fish in the 2024 class. He lands the guy that you figure is going to be that dude at tight end for 3 or 4 years at OU, and then he's off to the league. And then what happens? He gets to town and he's unwilling to help himself, you know? And so from Finley's standpoint, it's not as if guys have just been sitting around in that tight end room not getting developed. In a lot of cases, what's gone wrong when things have gone wrong in that tight end room, they've been things outside of Finley's control.
You're factually, and to add to the Devon Mitchell thing, you blame JoJohn Finley. That is the wrong. Well, you're recruiting. JoJohn Finley also did everything.
Yeah, no one at the University of Oklahoma is to blame for how that situation unfolded.
No
that, one, because they went above and beyond their typical levels of grace, and they, I'll put it this way. They did more to try to make it work for Devon Mitchell at Oklahoma than they have done and probably will do for any player before or since. Still didn't happen.
I'll say one thing that you're talking about, just to give people an example. JoJohn Finley literally would go out of his way every damn day to make sure that he got Devon Mitchell the class. Think about a coach that has to do so much that he has to sit there and look at his watch and go, okay, now I need to go make sure that my freshman tight end gets his butt up and goes to class every day. And then when they gave him a little bit of a rope and said, okay, we've got you in a routine. Let's do this. The dude didn't do it. He became the same person he was before JoJohn Finley was hovering over him like a two-year-old. And so, like you said, like I just wanted to give an example of what you're talking about. That's how crazy it got. And it's just, it's sad. And I feel bad for JoJohn Finley. And I know people are going to hate in the comments and all that type of stuff because, Parker, we're defending something that they just, fine. But we've also called him out when the tight end room has not been up to snuff in games. Like, that's also been the case. But at this point, he took a linebacker, in a matter of 8 months, and created one of the best tight ends in the SEC. You got to give him credit there, folks. I don't care what anybody. I had somebody on the board, Parker, say the other day, or last night, actually. Well, it wasn't JoJohn's idea to move him. Actually, you're wrong, because Kanick and JoJohn Finley got together before they went to BV and talked. Kanick had to get approval from JoJohn if it was okay for him to even consider it before he went and talked.
And does it really matter whose idea it was?
I know. Thank you.
Kanick produced. Kanick produced, and his position coach deserves at least a little bit of the credit there.
Yeah. So, but if next year, if they land some tight ends out of the portal, which we expect, there's one at least decently good fish that we know Oklahoma has a pretty decent chance with right now. If that guy doesn't produce or the broom doesn't produce, okay. Because this is back-to-back seasons in the same system. I will 100% be on board with everybody at that point, because at that juncture, it's you didn't develop the guys in the system that you were given a chance to back-to-back times. And so that's fine. But up to that point, he hasn't had that chance. It's been Lincoln Riley, Lebby, Latrell, himself, Arbuckle since 2021. That's a lot of change. So, much like with the offensive line, all that type of stuff. Then you have DeMarco Murray. Everybody's talking about retiring and all that type of stuff. I'll just say that I was told he's super excited about next season and the running back room that he has. I think for the first time in a while, he feels like he has a stable of backs returning. And they're probably going to go grab one out of the portal. But wouldn't you say that this is the first time in a bit that they have like a stable of backs returning where you're like, okay, this could actually be pretty good.
Well, we did all feel that way last year.
We talking about 2024?
No, 2025 at this point. I say last year. This we did all feel that way going into this season.
Did we?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I'm trying to... I guess Xavier, yeah, Javon.
Because
yeah,
we didn't know Jaden Ott was going to be a spectacular crash.
Well, okay, yeah, that's true. I always forget about him.
Yeah, and obviously, like, we had no idea. We had no idea Taylor Tatum was going to be a complete non-factor. We all figured, okay, he'll get the ball security issues worked out. He'll get the pass protection issues worked out. And he'll have a role in that backfield as probably Oklahoma's most dynamic, pure playmaker with the ball in his hands. And he played one snap all season.
Yeah, he's going to be a baseball player. Let's just call it what it is. He's from what I'm told, is likely moving on to baseball. Yeah. So, and rightfully so. I just don't know that it's going to be at Oklahoma. So, look, I agree. Like, but again, much like Jordan Finley, is that really out of that really in the hands of, like, can DeMarco Murray control Taylor Tatum's hamstring being jacked up all season to the point where he couldn't play? And then finally he got taken off later in the season. The issue, can he control Javonte Barnes deciding in the middle of the year, I'm going to redshirt, coach?
Yeah, again, as a position coach, you can't really control injury. I actually think the more I've had time to stew on it and just take it all in, I think DeMarco Murray actually did a pretty impressive job in 2025 because of one individual most specifically, and that is Torrey Blalock.
Yeah.
To have a true freshman not only ready to compete in the SEC, but to play at the level that Torrey Blalock did when he was at full health. That ain't nothing.
Which wasn't much. He wasn't full health. It was full health like two games all season, unfortunately. His shoulder was banged up. And I was going to say, to your point, Xavier Robinson, the three games he was healthy, he ran for 100 plus. And then he was not healthy anymore. Mm-hmm. So, and they were big games that he ran for 100 plus. So yeah, I agree with you. I just think OU fans are starved for that 1,000-yard back again, and I get it.
No, of course.
I get it.
Not be.
I get you. Got close with Sawchuk in 2023 when he finally got healthy the last half of the season. I think he averaged like 140 yards a game, but I think that's the last time they've had a spurt of more than like three games of a healthy back, Parker. That's crazy. That's like, that is horrible luck. Anyways, nonetheless, I just don't, I maybe DeMarco Murray hangs it. I just can't see it. I would think that I would, as far as like the buzz with coaching Steph Parker, you would lean towards Jojon Finley if you were going to believe anything, right? At this point, like if there was going to be.
And I think, you know, it would probably be of his own accord.
Correct.
If he were to depart.
Yeah. So, having said all that, I would expect the next week to be quite interesting around Norman. Mm-hmm. Right before the January 2nd portal opens up. What are you most looking forward to find out? Like, what's your big storyline, like big picture for Oklahoma in the next week? If you're an OU fan, what are you telling them to look for, watch in the portal? Maybe other players, like positions, maybe not at Oklahoma that maybe you think Oklahoma might be looking at, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to be real interested to see what Oklahoma does at linebacker. And ooh, I would think this is going to be a top level priority for them in the portal. But man, yeah, it's hard to evaluate next year's roster as it stands and not be kind of alarmed by the lack of experience depth that exists right now at linebacker. Because if we are operating under the assumption, Brandon, and I would say it is a likelihood right now in both cases, that Owen Heineke is done as a Sooner and does not win his eligibility appeal, and Kip Lewis is headed to the NFL. Well, That means Lewis, Heinicke, and McKenzie, all guys that we thought could and in some cases would be back in 2026, are out of the picture, and your only returning linebacker that that has so much as a single collegiate start to his name is Samuel Masiego. Behind him, Taylor Heim, James Nesta, Marcus James, and the four true freshmen, Dane Bathurst, Bo Jandro, Jacob Curry, Christian Moore. Now, as we've discussed, many in the program are incredibly high on James Nesta and what he can become and the player that he could morph into as early as 2026 for Oklahoma. That's all fine and well, but you need more bodies and you need more experience and you need more impact contributors at that linebacker position right now, probably more so than any other position on the roster. I would say that is more of a need given the type of football, the brand of football that Oklahoma plays, than tight end is.
Okay, so if for me, it's just like the Owen Heinicke situation is something I'm really watching. Yeah, he accepted the Senior Bowl. But from what I'm told, that was he was going to do that regardless because it'd be stupid not to.
Yes, of course.
He's still working that appeal. I would expect, this is just my gut at this point, sort of, that you might see some lawyers get involved in this thing, and rightfully so, because he wants to return to Oklahoma. You talk about a guy that loves the University of Oklahoma, Owen Heinicke. Loves University of Oklahoma. That dude has skyrocketed up. He is the crazy thing about him is that he's going to test so well at the combine in pro days that he is going to be skyrocketing up boards, Parker. And yet he would rather return to the University of Oklahoma. You have to respect it. If you're an OU fan, you have to love it. I think everybody loves his story as is. He is literally a legacy because of his uncle, right? So everybody loves his story as it is. He's become a superstar at the linebacker position. If he was to return, he would be preseason first team All-SEC. I would almost guarantee that. So I just, that's what I'm watching more than anything over the next few weeks. Like, because things are going to have to come to a head, Parker, at some point, because you only have to like January 15th, I believe, or was it February 15th or January 15th? Is it February 15th to decide? Can't remember.
No, it would be January 15th.
January 15th if you're going to go pro or not. So you got a few weeks, but this thing's going to be pushed pretty quickly. I think we're going to know in the next 10 to 14 days where his situation stands. But like you said, a linebacker is paramount. And then Kip Lewis. Like, I honestly, like, after the game on Friday night, I talked to somebody that would unequivocally know this answer, and they said, leaning heavily to the NFL. The longer this drags out, the better it is for Oklahoma, because Oklahoma is doing everything they can to convince him to return. Everything they can to convince him to return. If they can get Kip Lewis and Owen Heinicke back, they think James Nesta is going to be an absolute superstar. So you have that. If you go grab an instant stud out of the portal, I know there's a lot of people who are like, why isn't Sammy Brown getting in the portal with all the changes happening at Clemson? Boy, his uncle's the cheerleading coach at Clemson. That's number one. Number two, he's a Clemson dude. He grew up literally 45 minutes south of Clemson and 20 minutes to the west of Athens, Georgia. So he's either a bulldog or a tiger in his family. So you really, like that said, West Wes Goodwin is obviously the linebacker coach at, or outside linebacker coach at OU now, who recruited him and coached him at Clemson. But he's not in the portal. And I get, but I've had so many people hit me up about him. Like so many people. Why, what, is there any buzz on this? Is there any buzz? OU fans, you're hoping. You're hoping. And you're wishing on a big star. I just don't think it's going to happen. By if the way, I'm wrong, I hope I'm wrong for your sake.
By the way, on the Owen Heineke front, remember who the last player was at Oklahoma to win an eligibility appeal based on something other than injury-related factors?
Baker.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Turned out pretty well when he got the chance to come back in 2017. So can hope for a similar effect with Owen Heineke. There's absolutely no doubt if he wins that appeal, he is going to be a plug-and-play every-game starter for Oklahoma next season.
Yeah, he started the last three games for OU.
He's a draftable player right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he will only be more draftable with another year at OU.
So literally was talking to somebody yesterday. We're in Switzerland, and they were like, this dude is going to test off the charts if he doesn't win this appeal. He's going to skyrocket up the boards because of that. And then you put his film on, and you're just like, this dude can just play. Like, he's a natural. So, remember Baker had to get lawyers involved too. I do remember that. It got pretty nasty, actually, if I remember correctly. And he finally won. I'm going to call my shot. I think it works. He said it's not likely. I was the one that asked the question about his future. And he told me it's not likely. I'm going to be positive, Owen. I'm sending positive vibes your way for Sooner Nation just because I love watching you play. I enjoy watching him play so much. I think he is one of the funnest players to watch on the team. But yeah, linebacker's got to be one of those spots. It just, isn't it crazy just kind of the difference and the dichotomy of what could be if they can get Kip Lewis and Owen Heineke back at that linebacker position?
Oh, gosh.
And what it could be if they don't.
It changes the outlook diametrically.
Mm-hmm.
You go from, shoot, what are we going to do here, to, holy smokes, might be the best linebacker room in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Because of those two guys' presence.
Sooner Nation, I'm hoping for you. Those are two of my favorite people to watch play defense. On the offensive side, because we're going to talk about some other players that I know people are going to be interested about here in just a second. But on the offensive side, I agree with you. With wide receivers, just you have to. They need to find somebody that can keep Isaiah Satania, assuming he returns, because the NFL is still in his wheelhouse right now as well. I've reached out to people. I've talked to people. There's a lot of people that think he's leaning on returning, but until somebody announces, you really don't know their true intentions. So that said, if Isaiah Satania returns, you have to find somebody opposite of him. I was told that Manny Choice is going to be huge in big time next year. Like, they love him. Love him. But he's got to return too. I know you're the president of the fan club of Manny Choice. I'll take Elijah Thomas. You're the choice. Either way, both of those guys are supposed to be.
Yeah, both of those dudes are going to be big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
And that's assuming Choice returns, you know, like.
And to be clear, like, there are going to be multiple wide receivers that hit the transfer portal in the coming days and weeks because those two dudes are big time.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
They're going to play next year. Yep. There are other guys in that room that might play next year, but those two are going to play next year.
Yep. They traveled. Like, that's what people need to understand. Like, when you saw 21 and 14 on the sidelines, no matter where OU played, that's a big hint about what Oklahoma thinks of those two players.
Well, a bigger hint to me is the fact that they saw a ton of run on special teams.
Well, yes.
And Brandon, Oklahoma does not put true freshmen out there on the special teams units unless they have high hopes and expectations for those guys. Have you noticed that correlation over the years in the Brent Venables era?
Yep.
Because you don't see true freshmen out there on the field with the special teams units, and then that's all you ever hear from them. No, when you see especially freshmen out there with the special teams units, think back to some of the guys in years past that Oklahoma has used in roles like that.
Yeah.
Reggie Powers comes to mind.
Jacoby Johnson.
Michael Boganowski. Yeah. Jacoby Johnson. James Nesta. Right? Like, again, that's a guy that we expect to take on a much larger role in 2026. How about Owen Heineke? You know? So if Brent Venables trusts you to be on the field with the special teams units, that's generally an indication that you're going somewhere at the University of Oklahoma.
Correct. Yeah, it's big time.
They're trying to prepare you for something greater, something larger.
Yeah. No, and again, like, but they wide receiver, yeah, the two freshmen that'll return or potentially return, we think they're going to return. Choice is one that's just kind of, there's just been people think that there's been rumors that he's leaving. I just don't know that I buy that right now. And I hope I'm right. I hope I'm right that he returns, because he's going to be really good. And OU really has high expectations for him. I've had multiple people say that. Same thing with Elijah Thomas. But you still need to go out, like you said, to go get a big name guy. You know, you got to go grab somebody that's going to, from the jump, not allow teams to bracket Isaiah Satania, to keep him one-on-one. And Alabama bracketed him for a lot of the game, and Deion Burks had himself a freaking day because of it. And then they stopped. They stopped doing it because Deion was going off. It's like, okay, well, Four can actually play. He's really good. And OU fans knew that, but Deion Burks, like they said, just had an up and down season. It was good for him to have that type of game, his last game, but they've got to do that on the offensive side of the ball. So that said, names that I've heard are good to go, or OU feels really good about returning that are important. One being Peyton Bowen. Talked to somebody last night. Sounds like Peyton Bowen's moving in the right direction, or moved in the right direction as far as that goes. Michael Boganowski is another. You talk about high hopes. That's a name that we kept off the special teams part, but he was a big special teams guy. And OU thinks Michael Boganowski is going to be, they think he's going to be all conference type before it's all said and done. They think, oh my gosh, they love him. They love him. I had somebody tell me that's been around Oklahoma for years and years, Parker, that he is the, and this person is entrenched in the Switzer Center, said he is the best tackler that they've seen in Norman, Oklahoma since Roy Williams. And they think he could be better when it's all said and done. Not all pro, all that type. They're talking about as a tackler. They said he's just special. One of the best strikers they've ever seen. A better striker than striker. How about that?
Very nice. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Have you heard anybody else that you feel really good about that's like a big name that you, I mean, obviously the three freshmen, they feel good about returning on the offensive line. Anybody else that maybe was up in the air, but you think is they've kind of solidified their position on returning?
No, I mean, I think for obvious reasons, the expectation should be that anybody that actually played a role at Oklahoma in 2025 is going to be a priority in the retention department for this front office, and that is largely the case. And, you know, if you stay tapped in at OUinsider.com with us over there, we'll give you a, no doubt, kind of a breakdown and a postmortem, if you will, on each of the transfer portal departures as they happen. But the majority of those transfer portal departures this offseason, Brandon, are going to be guys that just had a very obviously obstructed path to playing time in Norman,
yeah,
at least to the extent that they wanted. So I don't think Oklahoma's going to face a ton of attrition this offseason that really like tangibly hurts their depth, yeah, and their outlook going into next season. It's really just, you know, recycling some of those guys on the roster that were buried on the depth chart and probably weren't ever going to contribute much at Oklahoma, and replacing those guys with exciting incoming true freshmen and portal denizens that can make an impact in 2026 and beyond. Now, I will say the three guys that have left so far in the portal, Kobe McKenzie, Caden Helms, Isaiah Autry Dent, probably would rather have kept all of those three guys. You know, those aren't guys that the coaching staff necessarily was just tossing to the curb, you know,
right.
But beyond that, probably not going to be a super eventful offseason for Oklahoma in the portal. Certainly not one that, at least for now, we expect. You can't ever rule anything out with certainty, but certainly not one that should be highlighted by a Caden Green level fiasco, you know?
Oh, I'm knocking on wood for you. I'm knocking on wood for you just because that was, you talk about just a kick in the scrotum. That still to this day was one of the more wild things I've ever had to cover. Big plans for Christmas?
Me?
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
Just chilling. Typical holiday. Now, I will say it's going to be the first normal holiday that I've had since my freshman year of college, because Oklahoma's season has never been over this early in my lifetime.
That's very true. Yeah.
When was the last time Oklahoma's season was over before Christmas? Do you have to go back to 1998?
Probably. Yeah, I don't remember. I can't remember. I mean, yeah, the playoff schedule kind of ruined a little bit of the, well, look, I'm happy about it. Not happy that the season's over, obviously, but I'm happy I get to spend time at home for Christmas for the first time. And I can't remember. I honestly don't remember. It's been a long time. And we got big plans, though. Kids don't know it, but we're going to go to Denver, see some in-laws, and then my son, you and I will be at the All-American, the National Combine, and the Navy All-American game, covering all that. Their top 600 kids in high school will be down there. A lot of the top 600 kids will be down there. It's a big event where Parker and I walk away with about 10 to 15 kids that are now freshmen and sophomores that Oklahoma eventually gets in on every year. And we're like, those are dudes. Those are going to be kids that we got to watch. Let's get to know those kids. And we do. And that it's such a big part of our coverage that I love it. And just from a father aspect, it's cool because my kid got invited to it. So as a middle schooler, so it's going to be weird, but it's going to be fun. I can't wait. This is probably the one event I look forward to every year. Like as far as coverage, just because it's so much.
Robust event. I mean, we stumbled upon Elijah Harmon at last year's combine. Remember that?
We stumbled upon Jonah Williams a few years ago, and I know he didn't end up at Oklahoma, but the dude was like all OU. He silently committed to OU at one point until it was ruined, but I'll never forget that. Like dude was a freak, freshman or sophomore. I can't remember. And I was like, this kid's good. And we go talk to him. His trainer's like, no, dude, like he wants to go to OU, grew up a diehard OU fan. He's at Texas now. That's the ironic part about it. But yeah, like Elijah Harmon last year. Yeah, you're right. Stumbled upon him. Jalen Brewster was there. Who else was there? Jaden O'Neal was there. What other big name quarterback was there? There's several, but one big one, like,
was Faison it? Brandon.
Faison Brandon was there. That's right. Yep. Yeah, like, it's a really cool event. Mecca Ibuka was there back in 2019. We stumbled upon him. I'll never forget. I got a photo sent to me. Like, who is this dude? And I was walking in. I was like, I don't know. And so I went to go find out, and I met his dad, and it ended up being Ohio State or Oklahoma at the end of the day for him. So, like, that's the fun part about this event. Like, you never know what you're going to stumble upon. Always fun, always good. We're going to have that covered for you as well. But anyways, I think that's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. If you're not signed up at OUinsider.com, type it in. In your URL, type in OUinsider.com. Click that Join Now button, the green Join Now button. You can join now for $1 the first few days. If you don't like it, you can cancel. It's an easy cancel. So just give us a try. We think you'll love it. It's fun. The board is popping. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of OU fans already on there. We're one of the top, I can't remember, size on three sites that there is. It's growing fast. And it's all because of you, OU fans, by the way. You guys make us be able to do this job. We do it for you. We do it because of you. And we love doing it. And we're blessed to do it because of you. So we want to thank you guys. And we hope you guys have a very Merry Christmas. And we will see you guys after Christmas. For Parker Thune, my name is Brandon Drupp. Subscribe to this YouTube. Subscribe to whatever podcasting platform you're listening to us on. That's it for this version of the OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. You all have a Merry Christmas.